的原因，我是什么？第一波，我是第一波，是我们王水果，我们的战士，要从你大宋，来请进到我们的第三的我们的战士，请大宋。 you and Travis did not leave us to their perfection. We are not that big things, but I'm sure we do. That's always been the case, that is not. Some who deny the power of Jesus and all of that. Well, this is a unique letter. It's written in such a way that we are to find Paul. To the beginning of Paul describes in the first word in this letter is Paul. Who is Paul? And the writer's name, he describes himself in two ways. First of all, he's a servant of God. He calls himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he knew that he was under new ownership. He had a new master. He was not his own. If you're a child of God, you're under new ownership. You take on a new name, and that name is Christian after Christ. And it implies that such people are Christ-like. So we are servants of God. And then you say, the second given and apostles of Jesus Christ, here. Paul gave him the spiritual authority for the ministry that he was engaged in. He was consistent, and this one apostle is one who is in the Lord, and who has been sent by him. And so he was sent by the Lord himself. We know that he was struck down on the road to Damascus, and there he saw the written, glorified Lord. And sometimes Paul in his question is right and calling himself an apostle. They didn't have a valid argument for this. He was an unborn for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had instructed to him the gospel. Now look at what it says in verse 3. He had in these times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Which all of that is by the grace of God. Service and the before the Lord, that he was, will be recognized in all the things that he has stood up into the world, the things he may recognize. Now, this is what Paul describes in the heaven. See how he describes Christians. Here is the beginning of twofold Christians. In verse 1. The first Christian who can be a Christian is the thing of God's elect. Now, Paul rejoiced in this message. You recall his great word in Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In verse number 1, verse 4. Knowing therefore that it is your election of God. In verse Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He wept before the foreknowledge of God on his own self. He rejoiced in that. The thought that his rejoicing was that he was born on the wayward decisions. And God called him out of his religious office and sanctified him and adopted him into the family of God. And Paul knows as well. We have to know that had we been left our own course, we would have been away from us. We could have been living. The theory here is a description that Paul gave of God's people. Now, this is the difficult part in John is taking those very, very Christians. There were two of the times, the Christians in the first century, that they were God's called out ones. We also remember every child of God. So are we rejoicing in the grace that God taught you and chose you, called you out, that you are all those people, one of God's elect, and you is in heaven by grace. That's what I'm saying. I told you we're arguing deeply about our argument against our own salvation. Not only opposing God, but they're opposing themselves.
there is a Bible truth that we have been saved by grace. And one way that God identifies his people is by that word, grace, chosen of God. Given truth that salvation that he's given is from his own hand, not of our own work. It's not God. Even so, we think. believe, but to follow the hearts. We've been praying for it and trust with the gospel. That means that we are custodians of a dynamic truth, a life-giving method. We're custodians. We are ambassadors for Christ. Maybe we don't represent our people, but we represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we faithful in that? Are we taking the responsibility seriously? Every child of God ought to be a champion, a carrier of the simple message of the gospel. Notice that Paul, that's what Paul is saying about the gospel. And this is all one of the things that God cannot do. It's one of the things John 10:35 that the scripture cannot be broken. That's the word of God. Jesus was the word made flesh. Do whatever you want to do. The scripture cannot be broken. That means the attribute of God. Something that God cannot do. And something that scripture cannot. He cannot deny himself. James 1:13, God cannot be hidden. In Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for him to lie. So we say that God is altogether free from falsehood. And that means that every promise that he has ever made will be fulfilled. When he is relating to his church, to his children, to the peers, in the world, and in eternity, for eternity, God cannot lie. He will fulfill his promise. He is the God that is not called the God, and he is the one who cannot lie. But in Satan, he is our Savior. We can look through 1 Peter 1:1, and Stephen and Paul, and Apostle Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And the most precious name we can give our Lord is the name of Savior, which means deliverer. He is saved from what the Savior did. From all of our needs, the penalty of our sin, from the pollution of sin, the corruption of sin. He can save us from our anxiety, from our worry, from our fears, and one day he's going to save us from the dead. Because he's coming again. That's the promise of God who cannot lie. For Paul describes him as he who cannot lie, that he is our Savior. So are you rejoicing in the God who cannot lie, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, all people, Savior? Well, Paul being filled with scriptures about himself, about Christians, about the gospel, and about Lord himself. So how does it happen? Faith is situation in Christ. What was it that he did first in this one called Christ? Well, in faith, an unorganized church and false people. And apparently, the book of verse 12, there is a new spirited people living in this one called Christ. Notice what Paul says. He said one day, even a prophet of the Holy Spirit, the Christians are always liars. Always liars. Evil beings. Slow words. Now, one of their own children, that they were liars, or they were just evil, or who they didn't see. If one of their own kids are Christians and liars, how do we know who is going to be here? So look at verse 15. Paul says, this is written to see. And this guy has the reason for this. They are liars. They are beasts. They are described in the verse 4. So, I'm faced this situation. If you like to come to a church that's full of liars, a church that will repent, but it's called verse 12, God has been difficult with us. So, how does Paul in the 12th place the real risk? Well, let me bring you to this one. There's only one thing that can truly unite people of various cultures, languages, and races. That one thing is called the common faith. But they have something in this thing for a faith or a belief or a religion. Rather, it is the common faith that calls for them in the common the common faith found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The common faith. And Paul set forth being the only thing that can unite and organize and discipline a church. And we're going to be thankful in Jesus, and I think we're going to be thankful in him tomorrow for a way of life. Well, some of my brethren are saying, well, what do we do is pretty qualifying reason. Well, this is the same approach. But listen, if the common faith is not enough to influence the people of God to vote down the evil of God and God, then it doesn't matter how much you put qualifying and reason. If we realize who we are by the grace of God, we will not tolerate, will not walk to the evil and death. I remember an often used passage in the garden that said, rich man, you know, never see Abraham, I got five brothers in this place. If someone not believe from the dead, they be from the dead. Abraham said, no, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, who's never going to be from the dead, full of Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they will believe that he's the one that's been from the dead. The most united, the most disciplined thing that we can do today is the common faith that Paul talks about here. That faith that uses the watch Jesus, Saul of Tarsus, to Thomas, near Jesus. If you know anything about Jesus, you learn that regarding a group, you see how these new dogs would have nothing to do with them. But Paul had an operation of grace from his life, and he saw Thomas as the student of the grace of God. So Paul called Thomas, my true child in the common faith. Then there is something said in particular in the body of truth called gospel. Then there is something said in particular that flows in these parts. And the same common faith unites believers of either age and their father, every race of race and every people group. We need to come and face the common problem of our sinfulness and the judgment of God that would come upon us if we could not have. We have that common faith because we have been saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a common faith because the sanctification and atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ worked for us all reasons. Now, that we mentioned, even as Tom and Nathan and Blood and Kenny and all of them. Many days, do not know anything about the summary because of their embracing other religions or things and things like that. So how does this common thing become the foundation of service? What was the religion of what we did? If you have all these bad people, if you have all these bad Christians, how do you describe the gospel? How do you describe our Lord? But let's bring it into the focus of the common thing. How do these common things become the foundation for our lives? Well, first of all, we need to be God. God's uniqueness. God initiated your salvation. Where would you be if God is not in your business and in your life? Well, I'll tell you where you'll be. I'm in the same place, and I've heard a voice behind us say, this is the way. Behind us, what that means, we have our best. All we lost to the God's plan, we turn to wander our own way. We will be going our own way. So how does this common faith affect and help become the foundation of our lives for the beginning of our atmosphere in these circles of own salvation? Can we begin in God? Some of you might say, well, I'm responding. Well, what caused you to respond? It's just God coming and awakening you, putting you, restoring you, giving you life in order for you to be and be in spiritual age. It begins with life. But two things, it begins with God who is sovereign. And he begins to know the faith of God's life. Oh, we're not using it that way. We're going to be very common about the heavens of earth, our election in Christ, God choosing us. The best way I know of explaining that is what God said to Moses. I will have mercy on thee, I will have mercy. Isn't that the best explanation? It comes from the mouth of God himself. I will have mercy on thee, I will have mercy. Your salvation, my salvation, is a consequence of the mercy of God. God has mercy on you if you are salvation. He could bless you to your soul, but he has mercy on you. So it is God who is sovereign. The third, the way this form of salvation becomes the foundation for our lives is that it is God, who is sovereign, who is faithful to his promises to us. Again, Spurgeon says, God is never out from us himself. He's not just out from us himself. God promised us eternal life before the world began, and he promised us in his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the foundation for the life of the coming from you is the Jesus God who is sovereign, and faithful to his promises. And fourthly, because he's a minister altogether of grace. Look at what it says in verse 4. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. Everything that we have is a foundation. That's the foundation. Grace, mercy, and peace, and consequence is peace. The foundation for his common faith. Are you one who has faith in the desert now and is thankful to be the forgiveness and satisfaction for our sins in order for you to have a forgiveness in this, in order for you to have eternal life, in order for you to be called a child of God? And look, how Paul put it in combat way. In chapter 2, verse 11, how could we accept of our life? We pray for the grace of God that brings salvation and gives all the teaching us that we're not and ungodliness and worldly love, we will live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glory in the glory things of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might be different from all of the priests and purified himself and peculiar people and servants of his work. And look at how Paul says in this. The grace of God has appeared. There come a little bit. Grace has saved us. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But the grace for the child of God has appeared for this matter as well. Teaching us. Did you know that every lesson that you taught is because of the grace of God? Everything that seems come to the knowledge of us is grace imparted to us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live soberly and righteously in this present age. Our sacrifice, we're justified by faith, we're justified by grace, we're justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're justified by grace, we're justified by the work and the good work of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We are everybody built up in the faith to be saved, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious opinion of the great God. Jesus Christ. Grace causes a child of God to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the common thing. And then we give a very tall, familiar, bigger weaving with a poor country, the great doctrine, over and over again. Then we give a customary way of coming forth, truth. Appealing to God's people that they will be grounded in this, or if you follow hope, there is nothing for you. This is what he thinks about Jesus Christ. He gives us our thanks. He never leaves out the work of the cross. And you and I should never leave that out of our lives either. Or if we call last week, God forbid that I should glory. And the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world is crucified on the knees, and I and he will win. This common faith becomes the foundation for our lives, first and foremost, because of the work of Jesus, who gave this before for what we're doing, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify our sins and continue the people that of good work. But it covers the whole gamut of salvation from the beginning to the end. So let me close by asking you, as a child of God, are you blessed of his works? Do you have a desire in your heart for the Lord to make yourself known to you more and more? Do you long to walk with him and to talk with him? Each day I have Lord put in my heart for me to walk with you and commune with you. Do you have an improvement for that? You might think, well, my love for me is a single woman. You need to realize, even if your love for me is just a single woman, his love for you is 10,000 times. His desire, he have a desire that he brings them to you in the sea. His desire for you is 10,000 times better. Are you zealous for his name? Are you zealous for his cause, for his glory, for his honor, for his promise? If you've been redeemed from iniquity, all of the characteristics of your life in your face. And what we need to do is proclaim to him, because far too many church members indulge in things of the world, it brings you close to going to your Christ and makes people closer than their Christianity. Christ Jesus died and saved us from our sins, not in our sins. Amen. He died to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify our ways and to heal the people just as the works. He died, he believed, and did for us. Let love inspire love, let love inspire love, and love the cross, the root servant, the mother's cross, upon which the precious glory abides, and root servant at one cross, and see the suffering and pain and the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ endured, and send that one for me, that my hope of eternal life, and the unity, not from the honor of his name, not from his glory, it's from him that we're teaching among the Bible. People are afraid of a lot of confusion is this. The world is clamoring for your attention. It's trying to affect you. And it's trying to tell you what you can. But Paul said, Christ gave himself to us to redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself and to see the peace of his works. Paul's introduction to the first four verses. You'll notice in verse 5, Paul gives his second I wish you in proof that you should set up in order the things that are wanting. The things cannot be put in order until our lives are received through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is a message that calls upon us, the God's people, to be in the way, to be in the narrow way, living for Jesus, living to the honor and the glory of his name. Are you doing that? Do you have the time to do it? Do you love the Lord Jesus? We call the world Jesus. Our Father, come and call and touch in loving thank you.